I'm going to be preaching a message this morning, a time for humbled hearts. A time for humbled hearts. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul is writing to his son in the faith that he mentions in verse 2 there. He is identifying himself with the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. What we're going to do, we're going to start in verse 6. And we're going to pray to our text this morning, which is in verse 12. Starting in verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up," literally rekindle the fire, "stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." You know, there's something that we need to just always remember, and we've noticed it in this time, and we will continue to notice it. When you embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when you become a Christian, when you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, afflictions come. Peter calls it our light afflictions. And he's right. This is our opportunity to shine here with the power of God like they did. Paul identifies more with this. Verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." And our text is here. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give us all wisdom. Lord, put a guard at my mouth. Guide what I say. Lord, we thank you for your precious word, for the word that is inspired without error and is for us today as much as the day that it was penned. I pray that you would give us, Lord, insight in what you would teach us. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We are here for such a time as this. And in this time, I pray that you'd help us to build. And we pray this on our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. It's interesting what Paul says here. This is a bold man with a humble heart. He has not entrusted himself with his life. He says, "I am persuaded that he is able." Now, do you understand that? Paul is not somebody that is looking out for number one. He is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, not only of his faith, but of our faith. So let's get that entrenched into our hearts here. He says, "I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him." He is, again, looking unto Jesus. Now, in order to do that, the heart needs to be humble. This is someone that has submitted to the Lord. Not looking out for number one. Not deciding, I'm just going to do what I want. This is a heart that needs to be reflected today. We are in unusual times. We who have trusted Christ have to look to Him and recognize this. That in order for us to be able to meet the need that God has brought us for, we need to humble ourselves to His will like Paul did. Against that day, there is a day that each and every Christian is going to stand before Jesus Christ. In fact, there is a day that each and every human being is going to stand before Jesus Christ. The difference is made on what we have done with Jesus Christ. There has to be a change in the heart. You know, I remember hearing many years ago somebody say this, a sinner leaps into sin and loves it. A believer, a Christian, lapses into sin and loathes it. This world is not our home. This is not ours. But we do have a time. We're going to be going to Him and we're going to recognize this. I trusted Him with my life. I trusted Him with my wife. I trusted Him with the family. I trusted Him with the ministry. And you know something? I have found this, and I know many of you have as well. He is faithful. Just like we sung about. Just like we sung about. That's why we can rejoice in the Lord. Because we have learned He makes no mistakes. James tells us then, in 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. You know, it's interesting. You humble yourself. Again, this is something else that I heard one time. The humble don't know that they're humble, and the proud don't know that they're proud. Paul tells us, look, you take care of this. God's going to take care of you. I'm not looking to be lifted up. I just want what He wants. I just want what He wants. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. It's not humble yourself and put yourself into this little corner and say, poor me. No, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Why? Again, that He may exalt you in due time. So folks, here we are. Once again, we're in a situation, and I know, you know, people are so tired of this, but this is a learning time for us. Can we please reflect and let's gather together online, I know, but let's remember that God isn't done with us in this. This last week, praise God, there were victories that were handed to God's people. We already mentioned the drive-in services. And like I said, the Spanish ministry is going to be starting theirs, and God has in control what is going to be taking place here. I know that we're going to have to be very careful. Again, I'll be sharing that with you tonight. But while we're waiting for a semblance of normal to return, and it may be a while, I believe this. I believe it is important for us to contemplate what this time has taught us. And oh, by the way, what it still needs to teach us. We need to learn more about ourselves. We need to learn more about ourselves. About ourselves as citizens of heaven in a fallen world. And are we being the salt and light even now? Or have we done as Demas, when Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. I hope and pray that's not the case for you. Not only about ourselves and ourselves as citizens, but about our conduct, our opportunity and testimony in a time of honestly great uncertainty and turmoil. Now, we've mentioned before, Satan's minions are busy, and they are. According to Fox News this last week, I want to read you a direct quote from an article that they put there. Former Obama White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel said during the 2008 financial crisis that lawmakers should never let a crisis go to waste. And many Democratic lawmakers appear to be heeding that advice, using the coronavirus pandemic as a jumping-off point to renew calls for historic expansion of government. Read, loss of freedom. Emanuel repeated his mantra again last month, this time in connection with the new crisis. Quote, start planning for the future. This has to be the last pandemic that creates an economic depression. We're going to have more pandemics, but this has to be the last economic depression, unquote, he said. The view that the crisis should be an axis for deep, long-lasting change was on display during negotiations over the $2 trillion stimulus package, in which House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn reportedly said that the package was, quote, a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision, unquote. Folks, we're interested in this, God's vision. That's not what the world is interested in. We are interested in God's vision. Let me finish this up, one more paragraph. The idea that the coronavirus crisis could spur a new progressive revolution is shared by California Governor Gavin Newsom, who recently said, quote, absolutely, we see this as an opportunity to reshape the way we do business and how we govern, unquote. The remark came near the end of a long answer to a question about whether he saw the potential in the crisis for a new progressive era in state and national politics. Now, I bring that up not to get political. I bring it up for this. When it comes to political versus whatever, this world is not our home. We are here to be salt and light for He who died for the world. We know that there is coming a time when there is going to be an Antichrist who will come in. What triggers that? I don't know. But I do know this. That situation is preparing itself right now. We are not to fear because we have faith in Him who rules over all. So let us understand this. It is time for Christians to have the humbled heart to be a tool of our God, even in these days, to be salt and light for those out there that are concerned, maybe even scared, still, because they don't have faith in anything right now. We have our God. We have our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I read that, I have to admit, I felt like weeping. Yeah, I my mind went back to Lamentations chapter 1. How doth the city sit solitaire that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? I saw pictures and video of places where I grew up down in Southern California. I mean, the 405 freeway would be jammed. There was nobody on there. The city sits solitaire. There's nobody. Everybody's at home. But there are reasons to be concerned about that because of the pandemic. I think of what Jeremiah said later on in the Lamentations chapter 1. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Now, here's what the world would say. Yeah, is it nothing to you? I mean, don't you see there are people dying? And they are. There are people getting sick. Oh, tell us about it. We have a man in the hospital right now that we love and care for, and he has come close to death, and I pray the Lord raises him up. But the point that we are seeing is this. We care because this ought to be a time when people look to heaven. And Satan is busy keeping people looking to government. They're not looking for the Savior. They're looking for another stimulus package or this or that. And folks, this is how, slowly but surely, it's going to come. The humble, yielded Christian does not recognize exactly what he can do right now. Yes, there will be difficulty that will come. There have been people already on the internet, I mean, you name it. Somebody seeks to do something for the Lord, and they're there right there. They want to absolutely take him down, sometimes with the most vile language. That's them. We can continue being what we ought to be, but only with a humbled heart. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're made out of the same stuff I am, and if you're listening, you are, my mind can wander sometimes. I've got to catch it, but my mind can wander in what I place confidence in. I've been to Washington, D.C., and I've seen the seat of power there, and it's magnificent. I've handled personal defense weapons many times, and I enjoy them. I praise God for the Second Amendment here. I have served in the military. I have witnessed machines, flying machines, and other things. Not stuff super top secret, but I mean things that can absolutely do major damage so it keeps people from attacking us. I have family and friends that I love. And by the way, I'm very comfortable with. I love them. But then God brings me to a place where He shows me how wrong I am and where I humbly need to put my trust. Time and again, He seeks to show me that I've chosen the wrong place. I've got to get back again and again. And again, I've got to remember, my hope is in the Lord. For instance, self-protection. Psalm 44. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me, or my pistol, or my rifle. But Thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hate us. Then there's military might. Psalm 20, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Oh, what about government? You know, the seat of power? Psalm 146:3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. What about family and friends? Micah chapter 7, trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide, keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom, for the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter rise up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. You know, it really is sad to hear when there has been betrayal by a husband to a wife or a wife to a husband. or sons and daughters to moms and dads, but it's happened before. But we can always trust our God. By the way, even we ourselves can turn on ourselves, as it were. Philippians 3:3, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Mike Rogers has let Mike Rogers down many times. I hate it, I despise it, but time and again, and I wind up going back to the Lord, rejoicing that He has forgiven me. He died for my sin, but Lord, I betrayed You in doing that. Hey, Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it?" But just 4 verses earlier, this is written, the Lord speaks, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Anybody that says, "Well, you know what, I know what's best for me," they're a fool. You don't, but God does. We are commanded to never, ever put our trust in man, in government, anything but our God, period. Now, there's 2 places I want to emphasize this morning that we need to be careful about. There's the anxious heart, and then there's the adulterous heart. I'll explain both here in just a moment. Would you please go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Remember when Paul said this, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Once again, Paul has humbly entrusted his very soul. "I know whom I have believed." Albert Barnes said this, "What he has entrusted is the soul with all its immortal interest. A man has nothing of higher value to entrust to another than his very soul, and there is no other act of confidence like that in which he entrusts the keeping of that soul to the Son of God." The act of committing the soul with all its interest to the Savior is the true source of peace in the trials of this life. But let's do this. Let's bring some practical application to this. And again, we're looking first at the anxious heart. Go to John chapter 19, if you would, please. John chapter 19. Now, here are those that Jesus is dying for, among with us as well. And they are crying out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him," before Pilate. Look at verse 7. "The Jews answered Him, 'We have a law,'" speaking of Pilate, "'and by our law He ought to die, because He made Himself the Son of God.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and he went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, 'Whence art thou?' But Jesus gave him no answer." Jesus doesn't owe Pilate anything here. "Then saith Pilate unto him, 'Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?'" Look at verse 11. And hear Jesus' answer. "Jesus answered, 'Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above.'" You know who Pilate thought he was? He's the man in charge. You know what he really was? He was a tool of God's perfect will. Nothing more. But he didn't know that. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read this. For even hereunto ye were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, listen, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I have a dear friend that taught me this, and I want to show you something. I'm going to take this chair, and let's say that this represents God, the God of heaven, our God, our Lord and Savior. Let's take this chair, and let's say for the situation with Christ, it represents Pilate, or the Sanhedrin, or any of those that stood against him. Here was Christ. He sees in this situation, he sees Pilate standing before him. He doesn't respond. Because he's looking through Pilate or through the Sanhedrin to he who is truly in charge, the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, that's what kept the Lord going. Now I know, yes, he's God. But he was a testimony for us, and he was doing that which was right. His eyes were on him that judges righteously. He told this person, you couldn't do anything to me, not a thing, unless it was given by this person. Now listen, for the anxious heart, here we are. I don't know who this person or this situation is in your life. We're all going through some difficult times right now. We're seeing people that are losing jobs. We're seeing people that are getting anxious, scared, and they're looking here. But Christian, you need to look beyond here. You need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You need to be looking to our sovereign God. And like Christ, not focusing on this person or situation who is hurting, who is hindering, who is definitely not helping, but instead recognizing that my God ruleth over all. The Lord knows here. You know, we need to continue praying for those that are in government. We need to pray for Gavin Newsom. I pray for his salvation. That would be fantastic to see him come to Christ. We need to pray for those in Congress and in the Supreme Court. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our land. But while we're doing it, let's recognize this. We're not focusing on them as being the almighty power over our lives. No, you see, we're looking unto Jesus. That's our power. Which brings us back to our text. I know whom I have believed. He said, I am not ashamed. It's interesting, that phrase can be rendered, I am not disappointed in my hope. You stop and think about that. In all of this, we have the sure hope of heaven. We have the sure hope of our God. Paul says here, He is able. Listen, when Paul used the word here, he's not thinking of just mere ability to do something, but of the might and power that resided in the Almighty Being, our God. He said, to keep that which I have committed. That literally means to guard or garrison. He has surrounded us in His care. That which I have committed unto Him against that day. It's like putting money in a bank that could never, ever fail. So to the anxious heart, I would say then, humble yourself under the care of our Heavenly Father, just like Jesus did. And remember this, our stability is not in this world, it's in the world to come. We are citizens of heaven more than anything else. There is work still to be done in us, and so we learn to keep that stability. But there's also work to be done by us. There's another reason, like I said, there's the anxious heart. There's another reason we need to mark our humility before the Lord. It's the spirit of this age. You need not turn to it, but in the middle of all this sheltering in place that we've been doing, my heart went to a verse, and I thought, oh my soul. Ezekiel 16:49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Listen. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. I mean, the jokes have been made on Facebook and elsewhere. Oh, we're going to gain weight, you know. Our gas bill on our vehicles has gone down to almost zero. But the food bill is now $1,600 for the month. I mean, we've made jokes about it, but stop and think about this. We have fullness of bread, more than we want to realize or admit, and we have definitely had abundance of idleness. How many Christians have spent hours and hours and hours in front of the television, in front of the computer, and not in their Bibles? But it starts out with this. This is the crux of the sin of Sodom. Pride. Pride. You see, pride is the stone over which most people stumble, someone said. And that's the one that opens us up to just, instead of doing humbly the work of God, we wind up with pride following after the world. In Proverbs, oh, it says much about this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth. Do I hate? Chapter 11. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. 16:18. Pride goeth, listen, before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. But this is the spirit of the age that is going on right now. Right now. We have people that are settling in things of this world. And the computer and the television have drawn us. And now we have wound up shifting from being humbly before our God to haughtily away from Him, thinking, I can take care of myself. I can do what I want. Is that the case in your life? Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. The person that keeps their eyes on God. You know, people might say, well, you know, I just can't help it. Yes, you can. Well, yeah, so-and-so in my life, that doesn't matter. You make the choices. You see, as the Lord told us in the New Testament, in Mark chapter 7, for from within, not without, from within, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, etc. We were told by John, I just read this in my devotions, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's why this is time for us to look at two hearts. Do we have an anxious heart or do we have an adulterous heart? Either way, we have the wrong heart. Listen, we can keep that spirit out. We can say no to the world. And I'm talking to Christians. If you have found yourself up to here in the world, it's time you come to know Christ. Again, a Christian will lapse into sin and loathe it. A sinner leaps into sin and loves it. Let's not go that direction. Let's not go there. This is a time for humbled hearts, surrendered wills, looking unto Jesus. I pray that every person of Faith Baptist and whoever hears this message, that by God's grace, you will be able to stand with Paul and say, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, the day that I stand before him. There's only two times that we stand before him. Christians that are mentioned in the gospel and the Word of God. Christians at the Bema Seat of Christ. Unbelievers at the Great White Throne Judgment. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I beg of you to come to know him today. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you don't know him, it's time to humble yourself because you can't save yourself. And come to him and ask him, Lord, save me. Save me from my sin. Save me from myself. Save me to yourself. And if you're a Christian and you're dealing with an anxious heart or an adulterous heart to the world or people in the world, both anxious and adulterous, let's grow to have his heart and his mind. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide in this time, even now, every person that has heard this message is making a decision. I pray that they would make the decision to follow you, to do what is right. Lord, I pray for the people of Faith Baptist. I miss them. I love them. I pray, God, that you would bring us back soon. Lord, your will be done in us. Use us wherever we are found. Use us for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.